You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Did you miss Canty and Carlin?
Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, in for the guys. Harry, did you wear pants today? I mean, Canty and Carlin, you never know, but Harry's still in the suit jacket. But we saw you on this just in. I didn't see, like, you didn't do any stand-ups there that I saw, so I'm not sure. Like, does the suit?
I have on pants today, but when I'm at home on my TVU, I can't say that I always wear pants.
No.
Just being honest.
I mean, look, I'm just telling you, like, for anyone that doesn't know, Harry and I are very, very close friends. We're like brothers, right? Yes. Harry, the world does not need to see your chicken legs, so wear pants. That's all I'm saying. Harry played in the wide receiver in the NFL, and I'm calling his legs chicken legs. What am
They're
I
small,
doing
though,
with my
tiny.
Legs? Tiny. That's genetics. All right. Somebody that does not have small legs at all and could power us both into wherever he chooses to place us, Willie Roaf joining us, Pro Football Hall of Fame tackle. We appreciate your time, Willie. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Obviously, we got a lot of football news we want to get into, but if I'm hearing correctly, you are headed to London to watch the Saints game. Is this fact? You're going to London?
No, we're not headed to London, man. It was, we're down here with the hurricane, and we didn't read the fine print. With the deal we had scheduled with Executive Tours, we had to get so many people to sign up to go to London and watch the game, and the Saints and Vikings aren't doing too well, so not a lot of people want to go over there right now.
All right. Well, one team that is doing well are the Chiefs, but they had a little bit of a setback last week. When you look at the Chiefs and Tyreek without Tyreek being on their offense, what kind of difference is it making in your mind?
Wow. I guess they thought they could have a receiver by committee, and I guess McCall was supposed to be I guess you want to say the poor man's Tyreek in the new system. And they drafted the young man from Western Michigan. We played him a couple of times in college, Skyler. But, he's special, man. And you don't know what you got until you miss it. And, he opens up the field so much for everybody else. And another thing that I see that they did try to do against Buffalo, they didn't do last week. Against the Chargers, they did run the ball some effectively. They never got a running game going, which is tough to do on the road, especially when it turns into a dogfight and you start throwing the ball and relying on Patrick to do everything. And that's kind of what it turned into last week.
Willie, it's a big game this weekend. The first time these two teams are playing since that Super Bowl loss for the Chiefs when they were defeated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the Buccaneers being displaced because of the hurricane, do you think that's going to throw like a wrench in their preparation and mess up their focus for this matchup this weekend?
I don't think so. I think they went down to Miami. They've been practicing in Miami, which is close. Since we weren't going to London, we were supposed to go to that game. God be willing, they still can play it in Tampa. My deal is they're talking about moving it to New Orleans or wherever. If Miami's playing Thursday night on the road, then why? Well, I don't know why they won't play it in Miami, but I don't see why they would want to move it. If they could play it down in Miami, I think that would be more of a home field advantage. Now, if they go somewhere in the Midwest and play the game inside a dome, then you might have more Chiefs fans than you have Tampa Bay fans at that game.
We're talking to Pro Football Hall of Famer Willie Roaf on Canty and Carlin. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys. I can't talk to Willie Roaf and not talk about the Saints. So let's start with Jameis Winston. Do they have their franchise quarterback in your mind?
Man, you know what? I feel sorry for that young man. You know what he's dealing with a back injury, trying to play football. That's a tough deal because anything you torque, you try to throw the ball, he's going to feel that. And I don't think he's been himself. He had the ACL. He had the back. I'm not sure if he is the franchise quarterback. And if I hope he gets better. If he needs to sit down a couple of weeks, I'd rather him sit down and get that back feeling better than get out there and get a hit on it some more, because then it's not going to get better at all. So if he needs to sit down and try to put together a good season, because if he doesn't put together a decent season, I feel like they're going to have to go in another direction.
Dennis Allen is now the head coach in New Orleans, and I can honestly say, watching all their games and their film each quarter, they've only played one good quarter of football. That was the fourth quarter against Atlanta Falcons, where they came back and won. But they could easily right now be 0-3. Do you think this team misses Sean Payton that much that they can't perform offensively, defensively, on special teams, and stack up wins?
That's a good question, man. Anytime you turn over a coach, and you know it's going to be tweaks to the system. So I feel like they're still learning and stuff. I mean, they've got 11 sacks this year. Again, another team that they've missed, Kamara. They haven't been running the football as much. I know they got the young man they drafted for the left tackle position. He's been out. So some of the chemistry is off with the line. You got a bunch of new receivers. So like I had to quote Steve Young, they're still in the preseason because they don't play a lot in the preseason. So the teams are still figuring out what their identity is. So I don't think we really see who the Saints are right now. And with Tyreek gone and all the new faces with the Chiefs, we really don't see the identity of the team yet. I will say this, both teams need to be more dependent on the running game and open up things that make things a lot easier for the quarterbacks either way, because you see what Dallas does. Dallas has an excellent defense. They take the pressure because they had a two running back monster the other night to rush for almost 180 yards. That opens everything up for the quarterback. They shout out to the young left tackle from Tulsa with the good feet. He's doing a good job for them. The Cowboys have the number one rated line. That was a good draft pick for them. And you see the defense is leading them, and they're running the ball, keeping the chains moving, and it's helping them win football games.
We're talking to Pro Football Hall of Fame tackle Willie Rofe. Willie, tell us what you're working on to help fans have a more enjoyable game day experience.
You know, hey, I want to tell you guys, man, we had a product in 2017. You can go watch Aaron's with Willie Rofe YouTube. It's a nice little video that I did with the Saints, and it's got the product on. It's called Aaron's with Willie Rofe on YouTube. And basically, man, you got all these fans at these games, right? Everybody's got their cell phones or you have players. So we had a few years back, we had the NFLPA license, and we had the helmet, hat, all these products made to fit on your car. Well, we had the NFLPA license, so I could put Harry, I could put Russell Wilson, I could put any player I want on there with his lithogram, and or I could put the fan on the plate with him to put on his wall in his man cave, or fans at all these games can take a picture from the stands. It's a big game. They can put the score on it, and they can take it home as a memorabilia piece. So it's a great concept of an idea, and I just want to get it out there, and I want people to know about it. So check out Aaron's with Willie Rofe YouTube, and you can check out the product, and hopefully I get something going with it soon.
Willie, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Enjoy the season.
Thank you for having me, man. Y'all have a good one. Y'all stay safe.
Thank you.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. All right. Everybody's talking about the Dolphins.
Uh-oh.
The question is, are we ready to give Tua the real credit? And is it right to? We're going to debate it next. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base.
How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Did you miss Canty and Carlin? It's Get Up in the Morning.
Good morning. It is time to get up.
But in the afternoon, we get down.
Get down on it.
It's time for Get Up, Get Down.
Get down on it.
It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, and your smart speaker. Or smart speakers. I don't know. We're still trying to figure that out. I'm going to be honest with you all during the break. Harry said, is it smart speaker or smart speakers? I don't know. I'm trying to get you to play. It says here smart speakers, but what if you only have one?
You know what I'll tell him? Who cares if it's speaker or speaker? Damn it, just listen to us.
That's fair. I love that. Canty and Carlin presented by Progressive Insurance. You know what time it is. All right, whenever Chris Canty is on Get Up, we like to then play here and see what we think. Chris Canty, Dominique Foxworth, ESPN NFL analyst, had this to say about Tua, the Dolphins, and the doubters on Get Up this morning.
He's a good game manager, and he showed me a lot on Sunday with his physical toughness. I think that's the biggest thing that he showed me and the biggest takeaway that I had. But we got to understand, this is a good Miami Dolphins team. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about Tua having that hit against Matt Milano. That was one of the few times he had actually gotten touched all game. Only one sack, three quarterback contacts. That offensive line is doing its job. The skill position players are doing their job. The defense is doing their job. I just don't want people to gloss over the fact that this is a really good team.
Nobody's glossing over that. The question coming in this season wasn't, are they a really good team? The questions were about Tua. So we're trying to answer those questions. He's the franchise quarterback. And the point is, name a great quarterback who's not on a good team.
Now that is the great question. Name a great quarterback that's not on a good team. Like it is weird here, Harry. Like, where are you on Tua right now?
I have high praise for Tua. We got to give credit where credit is due, right? There was a lot of questions coming into the season. A lot of parts were added to this Miami Dolphins offense. I think one of the smartest things that Mike McDaniel did was keeping this defensive staff intact, because that was not the problem, right? Mike McDaniel came in and he implemented his offense and his offensive system, added pieces to it, and it has benefited Tua very, very well. Listen, nobody has a higher completion percentage than Tua Tagovailoa right now in the National Football League. His accuracy and what Tyreek Hill was saying in the offseason, well, the numbers are there. Like, they're there right now. I love the way he is orchestrating the offense and playing in the confines of the offense. And the biggest play for me within that game against the Buffalo Bills, 3rd and 22, right? In the play that they ran, they isolated Jalen Waddle on the right-hand side of the field in a cut split, and it was cover two to that side. And the corner didn't get a good jam on Jalen Waddle, and he ran like a nod post. The same nod post that I've seen Jordy Nelson in Green Bay run millions of times, and Aaron Rodgers make that throw. Tua Tagovailoa on 3rd and 22 put that ball the only place he could put it for it to be a completion. So I'm telling everyone who's not high on Tua, who's not giving him his praise, you have to give the man his praise, because he showed up and showed out. Against the Buffalo Bills, was his numbers amazing? No, they weren't amazing, but he made the throws that he had to make. He stayed in the football game. Granted, I thought he should not have stayed in the football game. I do not believe it was a back injury. If your back hurting, you're going to grab your back at some point. He never grabbed his back.
Mm-hmm.
But he stayed in the game, and he delivered for his football team. And he showed up in big moments. The week before that, against the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, who I have as the MVP right now in the National Football League, four touchdowns in the fourth quarter, five in the second half, and balled out and did his thing. So some weeks you're going to have him, okay, he has to be a manager, but then there are other weeks he's going to be, okay, Tua, we need you. You're going to have to sling this thing and get it done. Get us over the hump. And I just love the position that he's in. His wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, who I think is top five in the National Football League, has given him all that confidence. Mike McDaniel has given him all the confidence. The organization now, it's about damn time, has given him that confidence. So I believe in Tua, because it's all about, we talked about this earlier, it's all about putting players around your franchise quarterback, or especially young quarterbacks that you draft. Previously, He didn't have those players. This year, he has those players. They're 3-0 to go along with that defense that has been phenomenal, not just last year, but this year as well.
So here's where I'm a little torn on Tua, because I love everything you just said. But part of what you just said was that some weeks he's going to be asked to be a game manager. Some weeks he's going to ask to go out and lead this team. What happens for us, and this is right or wrong, like I can't change this. What happens for us is that once we see some success from a quarterback, we suddenly presume that that quarterback should be Superman, like that can lift anything and take anything and take anything over. So like the concept of being a good quarterback means to so many people, you're the type of quarterback that even if everything around you is falling apart, you're going to be the guy that wins football games. I don't know that that's Tua right now. What I think Tua is in the situation now is like where what they're asking of him is for him to be pretty darn good. And pretty darn good with the, you know, every once in a while the uptick to having a really great moment. They're not asking him to come in and be Mahomes. And the problem is we don't, as a society, the minute we see a quarterback be pretty good, we think they should be Mahomes. That's easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, what you just described is a really accurate description of Tua. But it's the reason that I think there are still doubters, because we have this concept of game manager being this negative. It's like when you hear athlete of being drafted.
I hate it. I hate that people have that mindset when it comes to a game manager. And I'll be honest, you look at a guy like Tom Brady, Teddy Bridgewater when he was playing, you never get tired of making deposits and putting money in the bank. So if you got to take the check down, take the check down, right? Josh Allen, I can tell, against the Miami Dolphins last weekend, he was getting annoyed with taking the check downs, but he had to do what he had to do. That's a part of his growth. When it comes to a guy like Tua, man, this is probably a bad analogy, but I'm going to use Tom Brady. There were weeks, remember Tom Brady's in New England, right? And Tom Brady may throw for 300 yards or 290, 280 one week, but then don't have astronomical numbers the next week. Well, it's because of who they're playing, the offensive plan, the offensive philosophy that week, right? Every week, Tua's not going to go out here and just be throwing for 400 and throwing for 350 yards. He can have a 199, a 200-yard game and still be productive in the team win. That's a part of team football. So I don't want people to just say, you know, to a pass for 350, we need to see this every week. That's not how football works. This is not Madden 2022 or 2023. That's not how the NFL works either.
Well, and, you know, I was working with A.J. McCarron last weekend on the College Football Show on Digital, and one thing he talked about so much that is just ingrained in the mindset of the great quarterbacks in the league, many of them, in his opinion, and also what was ingrained in him in college. And I know A.J. didn't have a huge NFL career, but he talked about the two principles that Alabama taught him every single day. One was touchdown, check down. So if the touchdown's not there, take the check down. And then two was take what the defense gives you, and eventually the defense will give you the game. And there's a mindset to that that certain coaches have. I'm not sure we know yet as an identity where Miami's going to fall in that entire mindset, but there is more and more of that. To your point with Josh Allen, taking those check downs is a smart move to make. Now, as fans, a lot of times we're sitting in the stands and we're screaming, be aggressive, until there's an interception. And then all of a sudden it's like, why were you so aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no fine line on it. But realistically, the great quarterbacks are the ones that know when to find that line between aggressive and smart. Right now, I think Tua is playing really smart football, and I want to commend playing really smart football. I just think that once we take smart football and assign the conversation of future MVP to it, all of a sudden now it becomes, well, you can't just play smart football. You got to be the guy that's putting up 723 yards a game and 18 touchdowns. Like, our expectations become so unrealistic the minute we think a quarterback's pretty good that it's stupid. So, like, I just want to pull everything back a little bit on Tua and say, like, right now, he's good, and being good is good enough. That's, you know, not the best hot take, but it feels like the right take on him. In the meantime, obviously, we've got a lot of football to get into. The Dolphins beat the Bills in week 3. The question is, how much was it the Miami Heat? How much was it the Bills not being 100%? We'll break down that side of the matchup.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yo, check this out from Canty and Carlin.
It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, your smart speakers, your grandma's house. We're basically everywhere. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, hanging out with you guys. You guys can chime in on our conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We need to get some Bills expertise, some NFL expertise.
Yes.
We're going to get some expertise all the way around the board, and it comes in the form of Eric Wood, Bills radio analyst, former NFL tackle. But Eric, we're going to start with the real nitty-gritty here. You played at Louisville. I've been working with Harry for a long time. Give me some dirt. Like tell me what I don't know about Harry Douglas that I can give him grief about for the rest of his life.
Man, I would just say, ask Harry about what he said to the fans in Connecticut from the bench one time. That was one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Not radio appropriate, per se, unless Harry twists his words a little bit. But when I think of Harry Douglas, I think ultimate competitor, great teammate, great leader, not surprised one bit with the success that he had in the NFL and now in the media. But when I think of him, I crack up laughing every time I think back at that UConn game.
Eric, can you give me an answer to a real question here, too? Because, like, Harry and I worked together for a long time. We are very close. He's still trying to convince me he's 6'1". You've stood next to the man. There's no way he's 6'1", right?
I am.
Come on.
No, I don't think he's 6'1". I mean,
okay, Harry, you can take the interview from here. I'm done. I'll take the rest of the night.
What did the combine say he was?
That's a good question. I'm going to go back and look that. I mean,
a growth spurt late. No, guys.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah,
Thank you.
When I asked y'all's former coach at one point if he was 6'1", he was like, not when I was with him. But, you know, he keeps trying to tell me he grew in the NFL. What are we doing, Eric? Go ahead, Harry. You can take it out.
Yeah, he would.
His Wikipedia says 6 foot, but he might have put that in there.
Ewood, man, I got to ask you about these Buffalo Bills. You do a phenomenal job calling Buffalo Bills games as a color analyst. I got to ask you, man, you look at that secondary right now, it's pretty depleted. Moving forward, do you think that's going to be an issue for them?
It could be. Now, the kicker is only Micah Hyde's out for the season. Hopefully the Bills will get back their all-pro safety, Jordan Poyer, this week. Tre'Davious White starting the year on IR. After game 4, he'll be eligible to return. You get another all-pro player back right there. Christian Benford, who was playing well as a rookie, he broke his hand last game. He should be back. He had a successful surgery yesterday. So all that being said, we should be getting some reinforcements back in the secondary. But you go down to Miami with both safeties out, both cornerbacks out, and then you lose one of your rookies that you were concerned going into the game that you have two rookies starting the game, and now you even have to go further down the depth chart. But all that being said, you hold two under 200-yard passing. That's not necessarily the biggest issue coming out of Miami game looking ahead.
All right, so what is the biggest issue at this point looking ahead?
I mean, defensively, they're doing a great job. I think they're fourth in the NFL in scoring defense. And then offensively, in the last game, they just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. You go 2-for-4 in the red zone. You miss a field goal. It's the clock management, and it's the kind of the little things that didn't get them over the hump last year. Everyone saw that final 13 seconds in the Kansas City game. It's that last final piece. And they come into this season as the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl. And through 2 weeks, they sure looked it. Now they get hammered by the injury bug. But fortunately, a lot of these guys will be coming back this season. But they get hammered by the injury bug. And in those circumstances, especially when a lot of it's on the defensive side of the football, the offense has got to get the ball in the end zone. You face a Ravens team this week that is scoring at will on everybody. And you got to think, got to get touchdowns when you get down in the red zone.
Ewood, you've played in Miami when it's been scorching hot. Well, it's always scorching hot. I played down there. How much of an issue was that last week of those guys being out there in that sun? Especially because, you know, the visiting team side isn't shaded. The home team side is right. Shaded.
Yeah, it was hot down there. It was hot and humid. It had rained the day before, so it was like 100% humidity, 90 degrees out, beating down sun. It said it felt like 100. That being said, with all the injuries, you had guys playing offense and special teams, defense, special teams. The Bills ran 90 plays on offense, and so those guys got wore out. I remember going down to Miami my rookie year, and our offensive coordinator telling me that the offensive line was going to rotate in our backups every two series. And as an offensive lineman, I was thinking, this is ridiculous. Like, why in the heck would we do that? And it was just in case something happened like last game where you get 90 plays and then you can preserve some energy and be able to finish strong. But, I mean, guys on both sides of the ball, the Bills were affected by it, but the Dolphins had guys going out with cramps as well. And everyone will say, man, the Bills – get 70-something degree weather in training camp, and then they go down to Miami, and they couldn't handle the heat. Well, the Dolphins guys were bowing out as well, and so it was extreme, but just like when it snows in Buffalo, it becomes a home field advantage for Buffalo. You get used to whatever you're playing in. You get used to those circumstances, and it provides a home field advantage.
We're talking to Eric Wood, Bills radio analyst, former NFL tackle, Kenny and Carlin, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys. Ken Dorsey in the press box has gone viral. I mean, what's your reaction to it, and what do you think the players think when they see that?
I listened to what Josh Allen said, and he said Ken Dorsey showed him the video when he got on the bus after the game, and they were kind of laughing about it. And Josh just said, look, Dorsey's a competitor. You know, obviously this is his first time calling plays this year. He'll learn from that, realizing there's a camera about a foot away from his face that's only there to catch reactions like that. They don't care. They wouldn't have showed that footage, and it wouldn't have been a big deal had no one freaked out in the booth. But Dorsey's a competitor, and I had put on social media early in the week, like, I would play for a dude that has that type of fire any day. And everyone says, well, we can't have guys throwing tantrums. It's a bad look. It's this and that. And I'm like, all right, well, in the heat of battle, I've broken my helmet on the sideline. I know Harry's blown up on people. It is what it is. We're all competitors out there. But if one day when he's a head coach, that'll probably be the first thing they show on social media. That's the beauty and the downside of social media, is those things live forever. But Dorsey's done a great job. I mean, you're talking about a team that one of the concerns heading into the year was, could this Bills team do the same things on offense without Brian Daboll, who's now with the Giants? And they go out in the opener and the second game and score on their first drive of the game and kind of hush some of the critics.
I'm just going to say quickly, as the one guy in this interview process that did not play football, I think it's laughable when fans sit there and say, control your emotions, when I know how I yell at a TV every Sunday for a game I have no control over. So I love guys playing with fire. Eric, we appreciate your time. Keep doing God's work. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Best of luck through the rest of this season. Enjoy the process.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
See you soon, bud.
I mean, Harry, I'm just saying, like, I know the way I yelled at my TV on Sunday. Well, in Nissan Stadium, I know the way that I yelled also. Like, I know what I say every time things don't go well for the Raiders. And then I look at people on Twitter, they're like, oh, coach has got to be better. Really? Oh, man. All right.
Competitors, man.
We'll get back to the NFL, and we'll keep breaking down divisions, best, worst. We got a lot of football content coming for you, but there is huge news yesterday out of Phoenix, and it shows that there might be a very real distraction on the court that destroys their whole season. I'll tell you about it next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can't miss Canty and Carlin, pound for pound, the biggest show on ESPN Radio.
It's Canty and Carlin, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Harry, we got to have a conversation about your fashion, all right? Because you are a fashionable man. You are a fashionable man. But here I am, turning on Countdown to Game Day, the great show that you do with Harry Lyles and Christine Williamson every single week from the side of Game Day. Turn on a couple of weeks ago in Austin. You're wearing a cowboy hat that would have made Dallas look like, I mean, old school Dallas, the TV show. Like, you went straight, whatever the stereotype is of a Texas cowboy, you nailed it, man. Like, did you own that hat already, or did you go get that hat? Like, What happened? Oh, yeah, there we go. We got Dallas music.
To be honest, I tell a lot of people, when I moved to Nashville, I got in tune, you know, with my countryside a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I was there for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I own about 15 pair of cowboy boots, about 7 or 8 cowboy hats, belt buckles, the little neck things, all that kind of Wrangler jeans. Could barely move in them. You know, my doggone thighs are so big. Joking. But I would say when I got down there, I was like, you know what, let me go to this store, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. And they gave me a discount, man, because they knew exactly who I was. Gave me 30% off everything that I was buying. So I got like 2 more pair of cowboy boots, like 2 more hats or whatnot. But I like that side of me. You know, that's I call myself a black cowboy. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you a true story here?
Talk to me.
96, I moved to Nashville. I walk into a Boots and More store, like those are the stores down on Lower Broadway, right? Mm-hmm. Brand new to the city. I put on a cowboy hat. Southern boy behind the counter comes out and he says, "Hey man, that cowboy hat on, you look like Woody from Toy Story."
There's a snake in my boot.
I've never put a cowboy hat on since, because you know what? Sad part's he right. I look like Woody from Toy Story. The minute I put a cowboy hat on, it is just like all of a sudden I go straight into Tom Hanks.
You should have owned it, dude. You should have owned it. So my backup quarterback when I was in Tennessee, Matt Castle, looked exactly like Woody from Toy Story.
Uh-huh.
To the point that we never call him by his damn name. We always call him Woody.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me literally at all. So you're going to Clemson this weekend, mm-hmm. presuming, God willing, with the storms and everybody stay safe.
Yeah.
Do you have Clemson, like, do you have some sort of swag picked out? You're going to wear some?
So I'm not going to go too crazy because of the hurricane and the storm or whatnot. But App State, I wore their colors or whatnot when we was up there for game day. I'm going to keep it simple this week because it's a lot of things that can go crazy with this weekend and the storms happening and passing by and whatnot. So
I respect that about you. By the way, countdown to game day is on every Saturday, 8:30 in the morning Eastern time, right before game day starts. It's Christine Williamson, Harry Lyles Jr., Harry Douglas.
Crowd surf at App State.
It's a true story. He did crowd surf at App State, and I'm still jealous of it. Absolutely incredible watch. Be sure to check it out digitally wherever you check out your ESPN digital content. It's great work, and really the fashion is the best part of it, Harry. All right, we're going to get you some breaking NBA stories coming up next. Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Plus. Your mom's speakers, your grandma's speakers, your dog sitter speakers. We're on everywhere.
What?
Hanging out.
10s, 12s in the back.
Shout out to my puppy Annabelle listening at home because I leave ESPN Plus on while I'm gone when I know so she can hear my voice. So Annabelle, Daddy loves you. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz.
Daddy loves you.
I don't know. Her tail's wagging, and she's now sitting in front of the TV in the kitchen, and she is very excited. So
she's probably like,
she went and grabbed the little ball, and she's like, he must be somewhere here ready to throw. All right.
Scooby-dooby-doo.
Candy and Carlos presented by Progressive Insurance. We're just now getting news out of the NBA in the form of athletes talking because media availability has started. Yesterday, DeAndre Ayton had the first chance to talk to the press since signing his max contract this summer. All right, so you knew he was going to have plenty to say, but you almost forget with the Robert Sarver issue, the ownership issue of the Suns, you almost forget that there was drama because the last time DeAndre Ayton was playing with the Suns, it was Game 7 and he was benched and there were questions about whether or not he had value to the team. Then they didn't give him the max contract he wanted. They waited till he got that offer elsewhere and they matched that offer. So yesterday he talked to the press for the first time and this is what DeAndre Ayton said.
How have you and Monty kind of been able to move on?
I haven't spoken to Monty. No, I haven't spoken to him at all. Ever since the game.
So not even
no.
So the question is, how have you and Monty, as in head coach Monty Williams, been able to move on? And his answer quickly and abruptly is, I haven't spoken to Monty. We haven't spoken since the game. So Harry, you're talking about since at Game 7 you were benched, while then you weren't given a contract, then you were given a contract by someone else. That contract was matched. Through the process of signing that contract, you go in through offseason where you're doing your own training. You've gone all of this time, and you've never had a conversation with the man that will be the head coach of the organization you're playing for? That's wild to me for not just a player, but a player that's max contract valued.
Yeah, you talk about DeAndre Ayton, who just signed, 4 years, $133 million. And you did mention, like, the Suns, I don't think the Suns really want to give him that money. But they came back and matched an offer that he had gotten. I believe it was from the Pacers, if not mistaken. But here's the reality when it comes to DeAndre Ayton, right? I don't think he's been living up to his potential, especially you look at the playoffs, the series against the Pelicans, and then they lost to the Dallas Mavericks in the following round. When you see Devin Booker, you see Chris Paul, those guys making the plays that they're supposed to make, and I think everybody, when it came to the Dallas Mavericks series, didn't play up to the capabilities, but he's still feeling some type of way about something. And we don't know if Monty Williams talked to him. We don't know if DeAndre Ayton talked to Monty Williams. We're just going off of what he says. Now, if he didn't talk to him, I have an issue with that on both sides. And here's why I have an issue with that on both sides. Monty Williams, you got to talk to your players, point blank period. I don't care if it's the worst player on your team, the best player on your team. You got to talk to him in the offseason, even if it's once. Now, that's if the statement is true. DeAndre Ayton, on the flip side, what you just did within the media, I thought was Bush League and I thought was childish. And gives me more reason to say that you need to grow up and be a man. Because some things just stay in house. If you didn't talk to him, why does the media need to know that? So now there's a bigger story, a bigger distraction heading into training camp to go along with the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who's now about to sell the team. So why add that riffraff? Why add those troubles before the season start? If you don't want to be there, why in the hell did you sign the four-year, $133 million contract? Now, granted, I understand that it's your money or whatnot, but why not just say in that moment that you don't want to be there? Don't carry it over to the 2022-23 season if you're feeling some type of way, because obviously, Fitz, he's still feeling some type of way. And if you do feel some type of way, don't be a kid about it. Go to your head coach and tell him about it. Have a talk like a grown man.
Well, and Monty Williams, his response to this was to make it clear that he's been giving people a little bit of space this summer. And he said, quote, "I think one-on-ones are always needed between guys I've been around for a while. Some guys need it, some guys don't. I'll identify that as the season progresses. I'll talk to everybody as I always do during training camp. It won't be an issue at all." That's not a surprising answer from a coach because, frankly, I think, you know, coaches know what to say and when to say it. It's also not totally surprising to me to hear that Monty Williams decided to give players a little space. Ayton has been working out at the Suns facility for the last few weeks, but it's just in today's world where a text can be sent at any time to choose to end the tension, you got to do that. Like, yeah. This is where two grown-ass adults have to act like two grown-ass adults. And if you and I have an issue, one thing that I know 100% is that I can always text you and be like, hey, let's talk it out, right? Yep. And it might be uncomfortable, but that's what happens. You talk it out, you know? And at some point, when you're talking about a head coach and a $150 million player, those are the things that have to be talked out. Like, if you're not talking it out, it's just blatantly irresponsible by everybody involved. And I can't get behind that. Like, in my mind, whether it's Monty Williams not reaching out and just getting ahead of it, or whether it's Ayton not doing the same, either way, you look at it and you can't tell me the first time that Monty Williams benches Ayton in a game and he doesn't like it, he's not going to be vocal about it because he just was in front of a microphone. Like, this becomes the sort of cancer that can rip apart a locker room throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, Fitz, I would say it works both ways, too. Like, why can't DeAndre Ayton hit up his coach and check in on him?
Mm-hmm.
Your coach, I've done that times. My coach may not have hit me up, but, hey, coach, just checking in. You doing good? The family straight? It's as simple as that, a text message. So don't just put it on the coach and, you know, he didn't call me, he didn't contact me. You have a phone. You know how to reach out as well. But when you see what's transpired with this team the last 2 years, right, making the NBA Finals, being up 2-0 to the Milwaukee Bucks and then losing it, and having, you know, big expectations the following year, last year, but then losing to the Dallas Mavericks, which I still can't figure out how they lost to the Dallas Mavericks in that series. And then you're coming into this year, you're trying to be better as a group, trying to be better as a team. You're trying to make an NBA Finals. You're trying to get Chris Paul over that hump. You know, that's the one thing that's missing from his resume right now. And you have these distractions to go along with your owner.
Yeah, I keep thinking about that level of it. Ayton also went on to say, I found the quote here, "When I'm in between those lines, man, I work. I know I'm not playing for myself. I have an organization across my chest, a name on my back I have to represent. I'm just here to work." You can't have it both ways. You can't be just there to work and also...
And then do this nonsense.
Right. Like, we're all smart enough to know the repercussions of what we say in front of a microphone when you reach a certain level. And you know, and when you cut a reporter off on a question and say, I haven't talked to him, Haven't talked to him. All you have to do is say, I'm going to keep that between me and coach, and we're going to work it out. And now you haven't created a story. That's why the unfortunate thing here is if you're willing to create a story before the season has started, I cannot imagine what will happen leading up. I know what's leading up for us. Falcons coach Arthur Smith in 20 minutes coming up. We're also going to tell you what teams should be panicked heading into week 4, and it's not just my beloved Raiders. That's next. Canty and Carlin, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys.
Check out Canty and Carlin weekdays on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.